Every single podcaster in the world.
I don't like my voice.
I hate the sound of my own voice.
Still?
Of course.
Oh, I don't mind mine as much now.
Oh, now. It's easier to listen to now.
Because I'm used to it, yeah.
Yeah, I've spent so much time on a microphone now.
It doesn't faze you at all.
All right, all you Disney heads, welcome to another thrilling episode of...
Disney Channel Surfers.
Yeah, I'm Jacob.
And I'm Casey.
And we have a couple special guests joining us today. Go ahead and introduce yourselves.
Hello, I'm back again. I'm Nick Fisher.
Woo-hoo.
I'm ready for another good Disney movie.
Back from a Christmas Toy.
Yeah. That acid trip
dark
of a movie.
Cold.
You know, and there's some connections here, I feel. I think there's some connections to this movie.
Yeah, I was watching this and I was like, Nick is going to think we only, A, have him on for kind of weird things. And we do other movies.
Which is true. Which is true.
And B, have him on for pretty dark shit.
Yeah.
No,
that's all right. I'm here for it. I like the dark, twisted, emo Disney.
I know. Joining Nick is Nicolette.
Hello, I am Nicolette, soon to be Fisher.
Yeah.
We are the Knicks.
The Nick and Knicks.
My first time here. I'm very excited.
Yay. Welcome.
So all right, exciting.
Folks, so once again, we had you all vote. You spoke, we listened, and it was a battle between the Roald Dahl books. We had in one corner James and his gang of bugs and everything like that, and his big old Peach. And then in the other corner, we had, you know, just this little fox, you know, trying to just make his way in the world, gathering chickens and so on and so forth. But he's got to settle down and be a family man. And what won?
James and the Giant Peach.
James and the Giant Peach. You know,
I would have disagreed with all the listeners, because Fantastic Mr. Fox was one of my favorites.
It's really good. It's my favorite Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah. I can't remember it.
You don't
remember the movie? I don't remember the movie whatsoever.
The movie's okay. They do a good job. The animation's kind of cool. The cast is amazing. But book-wise, Roald Dahl-wise, Fantastic Mr. Fox, I enjoyed
it. Okay, I'll have to read it. Yeah.
It's super short, so
it's short, definitely it's doable. It's quick, and... the animals are great.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
I do love it. Anthropomorphic? Yeah, anthropomorphic animals. Yeah. Speaking of which, so with that in mind, so James and the Giant Peach was the movie. Do you all have any experience with the book? So you read Fantastic Mr. Fox. Do you remember reading James and the Giant Peach? No.
I did not either.
No.
I have read all of them. I think I still have my full collection of Roald Dahl books.
Oh, I love that.
I just got a collection like a few years ago. It was a Christmas present or something, which I came prepared.
I would recommend everybody just read Roald Dahl books, because they're all really good. You know them. And Costco usually has like the whole set for like $12.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
A steal. Yeah, for sure. And I actually brought a copy of it. I wish I had like my original copy from back in the day. Like it was made by, was it still published by, so Penguin Books, I think it was. And I just remember, you know, you looked for the penguin. Let's dive right into this movie. So I remember this one pretty fondly.
Me too.
I mean, I actually liked it. The animation style was really cool, and I am a sucker for a kid who gets turned into a cartoon or something.
Yeah.
Like Pagemaster, you know, this movie, like anytime a kid has to change or go through a transformation.
Yeah.
Alice in Wonderland, you know, that type of stuff. Right up my alley. So I'm going to read the first just couple paragraphs, just to set, it perfectly sets the tone, because the movie actually captures this really well. Because it opens up... Until he was 4 years old, James Henry Trotter had a happy life. He lived peacefully with his mother and father in a beautiful house beside the sea. There were always plenty of other children for him to play with, and there was the sandy beach for him to run about on, and the ocean to paddle in. It was the perfect life for a small boy. Then one day, James's mother and father went to London to do some shopping, and then a terrible thing happened. Both of them suddenly got eaten up, in full daylight, mind you, and on a crowded street, by an enormous, angry rhinoceros which had escaped from the London Zoo. You know, and that's just the opening couple paragraphs.
And I thought they displayed that imagery really well in the movie, and the rhino was scary.
Yes,
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
However, I don't remember them explaining that in the movie. So it was just like, oh, it's a giant rhinoceros. And everybody acts like, oh, that's a normal thing.
I agree with you. I also didn't get that, maybe because I've never read the book.
See,
but I was just like, so is this like some steampunk universe? Where these, like, clouds turn into these metallic creatures, and the shark is a big metal, oily...
Which, there's that, too, yeah. We'll get to the shark.
So I was just, like, you know, watching it, and I'm like, okay, so this is a world in which, like, a rhino can appear from the clouds, eat your parents.
And then disappear.
Well, it escaped from the London Zoo.
Well, now we know, but we didn't know that.
See, there's a couple instances of that in this movie. Is like, you had to read the book.
Also,
like,
is he 4 years old? Because that's upsetting.
Yeah. This actor, not so much. I don't think so. No. I wouldn't.
He was a good little guy, though. I thought he did
great.
A good job.
His only movie.
Only film. Yep.
Only movie. Because Freddie Highmore came along and Tim Burton, or, you know, Tim Burton, Johnny Depp was just like... get out of here. No, like, and that's funny. This is the second movie we've had where, yeah, the kid actor is just the one movie, which, you know what? Smart move.
Good
smart
for them.
Move on their part.
He went and lived a fulfilling life.
Yeah.
Making money and doing something.
Exactly.
He's probably the CEO of one of the film companies.
For sure. You know, yeah. I wouldn't, you know, I'm going to have to look into it, actually, because we looked up the twins from Baby's Day Out, and, like, they're both, like, yeah, one's like a technical whatever guru and one's a like a lawyer, so you know,
yeah,
at least one of them's doing good work, like
the tech guru.
The tech guru, exactly. Well, the lawyer, I don't know, I'm a prosecutor or defense, let's talk. So connections to Nightmare Before Christmas, like, this is directed by Henry Selick, which he directed Nightmare Before Christmas. Everybody always thinks it's Tim Burton, which, you know, his fingerprints are all over it. And did you pick up on any of, like, the Tim Burton references in this one?
Yes.
So many.
So many.
Just the whole style itself, whole art style itself is that creepy Tim Burton feel.
Totally.
Definitely. Yeah, you mentioned this before we got on, like, the spider, like, that whole
spider's black
and white gimmick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we even get a little cameo from a pretty memorable character from Nightmare Before Christmas in this thing, too. So, it opens up with idyllic family. Like, it's so funny. I love how all of the live-action stuff, the stuff with the people, is clearly on a soundstage.
I also love that.
I kind of liked that. Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And yeah, the set was amazing.
The
house and the tree on the...
Oh, my gosh. Great. So good. Mm-hmm.
And even the, creepy location when we get to... So, as the book describes, you know, the parents, they're done. They're out of there. Gotta get rid of them. Roald Dahl doesn't do parents. No. So, they
lovely.
Get... They
he
get,
goes with Disney really well.
And, oh, yeah, reminder, folks, this is full-blown Disney. Like, this is, Disney did this one. So he loses his parents, he gets saddled with Aunt Sponge and Aunt Spiker.
Goodness.
The stuff of nightmares.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely almost made me want to vomit. They were just so wretched. And
the makeup artist for this is
so
a genius.
Good.
Joanna Lumley is a beautiful woman.
Beautiful.
And
Joanna Lumley played...
Oh, she was... sorry.
Spiker. Yes. And she... I love her. Yeah.
Yes. She's so good.
It's hideous.
Yeah.
Like, she looked like a corpse.
We,
and it was ingenious.
Yeah. And, you know, and part of that is also, though, like, a testament to British actors, because they use their assets. Like, I think, like, Aunt Spiker in particular is like, well, I've got these teeth and I'm gonna use it, like, and like, and she sure did. Like, she did, like, yeah, like we've been saying, she's a walking corpse. And then Aunt Sponge, you know, there's some not so nice jokes being thrown around and everything, but, you know, these are based on kids books, like, it's mm-hmm. you know what you do. And she's actually, she provides the voice for the glowworm and Sponge. So I thought that was
interesting. I did not know that.
Awesome.
I don't know why Aunt Spiker couldn't have gotten a little vocal role or whatever. So we are joined by them. Like, it's all misery. He's forced to do chores.
Can I say to the narrator when he said, if they their troubles, if they had any at all, were over in 35 seconds flat. I was like, fuck, that's dark.
Yeah. Because it does take time for the rhinoceros to, yeah, to eat you. Yeah.
35 seconds flat.
Yeah. And then that's very Roald Dahl, which it's just something. It's like, how many seconds? Yeah, 35.
Yeah. Why not? And they had been talking to James about going to New York, seeing the Empire State Building, moving.
And I love the dad. He's like, we're going to go right to the top of that building. And he points to, like, the
needle.
The needle. And it's like, does this poor son of a bitch think that he is going to the top of the Empire State Building?
Yes.
I think he does.
Absolutely does. And pause. All right. So Aunt Sponge, Aunt Spiker, chores getting done all over the place. And
basic terrorist ants, like,
yeah.
Harry Potter, like, I'm going to make you clean. And
they are so mean to him. Some of the things that, like, they're like, you're the reason why the rhino ate your parents.
Yeah.
You should feel bad about that.
And it feels like these actresses all, like, I'm sure they're nice people, but you got to figure as an adult, when given the opportunity to treat a kid like crap for film, it's got to be enjoyable and, like...
I think Nick, as a teacher, can attest to that.
Like, to say shut up to a kid and, like, organically, like, shut up. Oh, that felt so good.
And, I mean, they're like, oh, are you hungry? Well, we left something in the oven for you.
Yes. God, oh, my God. A fish head.
Fish heads.
Fish heads.
And they're like, oh, and that's too good for you?
Yeah. What? Who do you think you are, kid? I love that scene because it shows these ants, like, know how to treat themselves. Because they dress up for this dinner.
They are so fancy. They are, like, dressed to the nines in almost flapper-esque attire.
Yeah.
With their makeup done and their hair blown out.
Mm-hmm.
Eating dinner by themselves in their little tiny kitchen.
With, like, opera music playing and so on.
Very bizarre.
And this is so.
I like it. I'm an extra person. I think that's fun.
For sure.
It's how I would want to eat dinner.
Maybe if I lived alone, like, every day.
And that's actually further along. We're skipping a little bit ahead because we've got the James in misery. You got to have that. And then he makes a little friend with a spider.
Oh yeah, he saves the spider. Which, good on him.
Which. That spider, like, I wonder, did they do makeup? Are there spiders that look like that? Like, black? There must be, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's something similar, but yeah. I think that was, they really emphasize it in that. I don't, just so that you know, like, oh, yeah, it is the same spider.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. True. Because we're going to see this spider again, folks. So don't you worry. Yeah.
Nick has so many questions about the spider.
Yeah. Oh, right. I see we'll where this there. Is going. Makes friends with the spider. The music is by Randy Newman, which, great choice.
Music
always a
is
solid
so good.
Choice. Great songs throughout. And it definitely does, it just, anytime you hear Randy Newman, it takes me to Toy Story. Like, that's the point. It's not, like, I think James might have come before Toy Story, but
I think
my
it's
mind doesn't
pre-Toy Story.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. This was 94, I think.
So, yeah, I think it might have been.
Toy Story came out
97.
This 90s. Is 1996.
This is 96. Okay.
I don't know when Toy Story came out, but
we have magical boxes.
Yeah.
You do. Mine makes my microphone go crazy.
Oh, really?
That's
how it works. Please
it's
hold. Well,
yeah.
Toy Story is 1995.
Oh, ooh. So it is pre. All right.
Just barely.
Mm-hmm.
Toy Story got Randy Newman this job.
Yeah, exactly.
You're right.
No, I think that's it. Because actually, there was another artist completely who was set to be the composer. He even did, like, 4 tracks for it.
Whoa.
And they were like, you know, we're good. We're good. Because you know what, guys? We could have been listening to this banger.
Ooh, let's hear it. country music song?
Christ.
Oh my god.
Who is this?
This is Andy Partridge.
Is this the original composer?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Wow.
And I thought Tim Burton was dark.
Like, the first word is darkness. Very fitting. Okay, hold on. There is popcorn in the studio.
Sorry, guys.
Enjoy. Enjoy. Yeah.
All we can hear is you smacking your lips. It's not working. She doesn't even have headphones on. She doesn't want you to
so
do that. So
can you imagine like that being the, instead of My
no,
Name is James,
my
that's
God.
The song
darkness.
That you're treated to? Darkness.
I think that it would have... Flunked.
Brought you down. Brought
I think
you down
it would have flunked
bit.
At the box office because this did really good, right? I mean, it's...
yeah, pretty good, yeah, pretty darn good, as George would say. okay, so makes friends with the spider. The My Name is James song. I really like this song, and it's like if your name is James, like 9 times out of 10, this is what I'm thinking of when you like introduce yourself or whenever I think of you. It's like, oh, it's time to go see James. James,
James,
James, James, James, how are ya? Is it all
well? Oh my God.
Because that kid nails it too. Like he I just love
job.
How genuine and like sincere he is. With I hope
also,
he's really singing. I think it's the same.
It kid. Sounds like the same exact voice to me.
Yeah.
I like when he makes the little paper lantern out
yeah.
of the... That's cool.
Is that possible? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Totally.
Okay.
People make paper lanterns.
Okay. Because I was watching that. I was just like, oh, I want to do that.
Oh, yeah,
and, like,
you can.
I loved his little coloring box that he had to... He has to freaking hide under the floorboards, apparently.
Oh, my God.
Jeez.
I know. His life is really dreary.
Can't let them know I entertain myself.
So, I will say now, before we get too far into it, that I... watched this movie when we were growing up a lot. I loved it. It was definitely like one of the staples in our household. But I haven't seen it since I was a really little kid, and I just kept thinking that like when he faced the rhino that his parents were gonna come back.
Oh, spoiler.
I mean,
oh no,
doesn't
oh
happen.
You thought that was no, this is a Roald Dahl joint.
Yeah. Right. His endings, I mean, they're very few happy endings.
Yeah. So, especially for parents or like if you're good people or bad people. There's no real in between with him. Oh, you're a good person, you're going to suffer. Oh, you're a bad person, you're going to suffer.
Poor James. So yeah, when he is paper lantern. Oh yeah, he's outside and meets a random stranger.
Okay, they keep calling this guy an old man.
He's not old.
Also, where did he come from? Because
the bushes?
They seem very isolated, and I don't know where this man lives.
So in the book, like it is like a gremlin looking like older man, like it is an old
like a
man.
Magical creature.
Like magical
almost.
Like this guy, yeah. I don't know where he came. He's got watches on him.
Again, this is like a pretty steampunk movie. The watches, the metal stuff, like all of that is like very
metal.
Steampunky.
Interesting.
He looks like a steampunk character.
But I love that actor.
Me too.
And
yeah.
He is in
he's
so
great.
So much stuff. Yeah.
He's great. It was just weird though that he just appeared.
Yeah,
with these
James
magical
like,
tongues.
Yeah, saving the spider. Oh, because the ants freak out at the spider, which reminded me of Guess, like in a spider situation.
Oh my god.
Difference being like Spiker's actually like actively attacking the spider. Guess would not.
No, but she one time I was in the it. Car with her and there was a spider and she swerved and swerved and swerved and was trying to... I almost died. It was very scary.
Over a spider.
Another time I was like, hey, you have something. And I like went to get a piece of fuzz out of her hair. And she thought that there was a bug on her. And again, she just let go of the wheel and just went crazy.
Spiders are good.
Spiders are good.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you can take them and put them outside, that's the best bet.
Which makes me think of
it
that.
It doesn't always happen in our house, but yeah. I try because they are very good. They get rid of all the bad bugs.
Not me. They going down. They are going
it's okay,
down.
I understand, no. But
down the water spout. Just kidding. Okay, so he saves a spider. Saves the spider, sets it free. Run away, get as far from this place as you possibly can. I wish I could. And then, yeah, what's stopping you? What the fuck? Where did you come from, man? What the hell? It's like, oh, don't be frightened, James. I won't harm you. Like, okay, well, stop talking in tense like that, and maybe I'll trust you. Oh, I know more than just your name. Like, what? Sir?
Why do you think he was there?
I mean...
creeping on the ants, maybe? I mean...
Yeah.
That's a valid question.
He just biding his time, like waiting for the moment. It's like, okay, now I'll help your life get better.
And it's so weird too. Like, doesn't require a price or a payment.
No. Just, oh, I know some shit. Oh, you didn't know this? Oh, hell. Okay. Crocodile tongues. All
he
right.
He just had to make sure that James knew true suffering.
That's it. He's rolled off. That's who he is. That's who it is. I think that's who this actor was channeling.
That's like, hilarious.
Let me study this man. So this guy, yeah, the old man, as he's frequently called throughout the rest of this movie, entrusts James with some interesting knowledge. Okay, there's these things called crocodile tongues, and he's gathered them in that what used to be his lantern, which it's like, hey, dude, that's my lantern. What are you doing with that? Check it out, crocodile tongues, which this is not what I picture when I think of crocodile tongues. I picture things that look like, you know, tongues.
Big tongues, too.
Not,
these are tiny.
Pasta. Like, yeah. These look like...
they are worms.
Were neon rigatoni.
Yeah.
But they were, like, fermented for, like, some odd time and something
right.
else.
Like, yeah, the shrunken head.
Whole rundown thing about it. So.
Again, very Roald Dahl, where it's just like, how many random things can I just, like, pick and, like, throw into this thing to make it sound magical?
Yes.
Add, you know, the beak of a parrot and 5 spoonfuls of sugar, like, you know, just because. And then let the moon do the rest. And then he's got, like, a white eye for whatever reason. Like, you know, just...
Yeah, he's showing
Tim Burton.
That's the
like,
moon.
That was Tim Burton's contribution. He's just like, hey, you should throw in, like, a creepy eye real quick. Why? Just money? Like, you want a paycheck?
Yeah. I can't remember. Does the eye ever come back?
See, no.
No.
Like,
no.
He blinks at the end
yes.
like it's going to. And like he did the first time, but then
it doesn't.
Oh, exactly.
And then, like, that's the last close-up. It's like, wait, what's that supposed to mean? Like, what are you saying?
Yeah.
It was all just a dream? Like, I guess that is the impression I'm getting. Except, no, it can't be, because they are very much in Central Park at the end.
Yeah.
on a soundstage. So, crocodile tongues. He's told that they're going to make his life great. Okay, cool.
Don't drop them.
Like, don't drop them. 10 seconds
don't
later.
Don't drop them.
Drops them.
Yeah. Immediately. Which, you know, I relate to James here because...
That's how
I like 9 out of 10 times don't drop something, but if you tell me not to and I have the pressure,
it's gonna happen.
It's happening.
Same.
And then I get to blame you because,
right.
Like, why would you? Why did you do that?
Why did you do that?
So he drops them, like, and they kind of get scattered, like, at the base of this tree, this barren tree, though. Like, it ain't producing nothing. Certainly no kind of fruit. Like, that's
definitely
not happening.
Peach tree.
No. No, nope. Absolutely not. So they start digging it and...
And the ant here, she says, beat him, sponge.
Yes.
And I was like, lovely.
Yeah. And then she says, it's lovely. Too early. Like, I get it. Like, sometimes it's just too early to beat your kid. Like,
fuck.
Yikes. And they're like, well, that makes you the luckiest boy alive. Let's go. And they're about to head inside, but old Sponge, like, she notices that... Peach. Oh my god, we were wrong.
It is a peach
tree. It is a peach tree.
James and the giant peach.
Oh, it makes
this
sense.
This movie makes me want peaches.
Yep. They did pretty good with the
yes.
food.
I'm like, why is it winter
porn.
Right now?
The giant grips of
yes.
peach
yeah.
they're pulling out of it. It's
juicy and
yeah,
yes,
succulent.
It looks so good.
Well. So the thing about this peach, though, they're about to like send James up to bring it down for them to share. You know, they're not going to share it with him. As he's climbing this tree, like it starts growing, this peach. Like, what? Could it be tied to the crocodile tongues? I think so. So it's growing. It's growing like a big old peach colored balloon, perhaps, because that's totally what it was. And it's still hanging on to this flimsy little tree, but it's like the size of their house. I think it's even bigger than their house at the end.
It's big.
And like they're about to just mow on this thing, but no, Spiker's like, no, it smells like money.
Money, honey.
Because everybody wants to pay to look at a big peach. And here's the funny thing, like they don't even board it up nicely, so it's like, oh, I see it. Yeah, that's pretty big. Cool, I mean, let's go.
Roadside attractions are a thing.
Yes, they
are.
That's true. Yeah,
they
yeah.
are.
And this, in London especially.
But from miles away, they're up on like a hill,
mm-hmm.
which we'll find out later.
Yeah.
You could see it from, I wouldn't even know. Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's exactly.
I'm going to save my money.
Exactly. Money. I'm not going to pay admission to see that. Like if they had boarded it up effectively, then it's like, okay, well, that's a big boarded. I got to see what's in there. I got to see like what's in that.
Well, also maybe like there's just not a lot of stuff out there.
I have to imagine like, that this town is just barren.
Let's go see the peach.
Yeah.
They're too far away from the chocolate factory and all that stuff. So
one of the little girls, can I touch the peach? No, and now you can't come in.
Yeah. Dude, and then one of the lines picked this up, like the priest comes in and she's like, sorry, double. Priest, that'll be double. Like, and he says, oh, may God forgive you. Like, what is this exchange? What just happened?
So funny.
Freaking priest, like what? And
I love that he still did it. Like, okay, yeah.
All right.
Hopefully, God will forgive you
because I'm damning you after this. James is too late to play with the kids. Like, you know,
so sad. He looked so freaking cute in his little overall, fancy little overall outfit. Yeah, short overall,
very British.
Not overall, sorry, suspenders.
Yes.
He looked adorable.
His knickers.
Yes, knickers. And they're like, well, you can play with their garbage.
And then they give him a stick to poke the garbage.
And he goes about cleaning up the outside area. But man, the dude is hungry. And there's a big old peach right there.
Only fish heads.
Yeah. He tries to chase down a crocodile tongue, but it evades him. It gets away. Yeah. Dang it. So he's by the peach and he takes a big old double handful of peach and
good for him
bites into it.
Good
and
for
this
him.
Crocodile, this suicidal crocodile tongue, jumps into the peach and gets devoured.
My purpose.
Yes, eat me. I would have loved to have heard that from the crocodile tongue.
Just a little high pitched voice as it, you know, rigatoni curly cued itself in.
Exactly.
Eat me. And here we go into some trippy ass stop motion time.
And real quick before we move on from this segment, so anybody else feel that it was underlit?
I mean, it's kind of dark, yeah.
It's dark, but I think that was by
mood,
choice.
Yeah.
That's what gave it that real Tim Burton feel.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Again, like it did feel like a dingy, like, yeah.
Everything was clear and you could see all the characters. It wasn't a light. I think that was a choice.
I think so, too.
Cool. Because once we do get into, like, the full-blown animation, which is what happens here, we transition to... This is where, James turns into stop-motion James.
I really enjoyed the transition.
It's
and
cool.
That they actually made him transition from a human to a character as he's crawling through.
Yes.
And I thought that was really nice to see that.
I did, too.
That was well done. Yeah, really great way of, like, pulling the audience along and really letting them know it's like, okay, we're doing this now.
Mm-hmm.
He gets a big old head and...
And I think stop motion body, James is adorable.
And you know what? He pretty much looks like the actor, actually. he doesn't have nearly as beady as eyes, but which totally gave me Coraline feels.
Yes, same. Same. A lot of this gave me Coraline feels.
Yeah. It was much a little more on the Coraline, side than Coraline, Nightmare. Though. So James, he's crawling through this peachy tunnel and he's hearing these voices and stuff. inside and seeing these creepy looking shadows and yeah. stuff displayed. And we're getting a whole bunch of colorful cast of characters. And he falls into this big open area in the middle of the peach. And there's all these bugs and stuff. We got a mm-hmm. grasshopper. We got a spider, a ladybug. And we got an awesome voice cast with all of these yes. guys, too. Let's run through them because we got Centipede being played by Richard Dreyfuss. Okay. Comedic legend.
Yeah.
He did this movie called Jaws. And oh, and what about Bob? And yeah,
very, I don't know how. I mean, a little over the top on the Brooklyn.
Oh yeah,
yes, bit,
maybe
because he even says, "I'm from Brooklyn." It's like, no kidding. Hmm.
It totally fit the tone of the show.
It did. Yeah. It did fit. Mm-hmm.
And then let's see, we got as the voice of the grasshopper, we got the bad guy from Ace Ventura 2. I mean, he's done so many other things, but that's what I know him for. We got Professor Lupin as the earthworm.
Hell Casey. Yes. Like, yeah. Yes, we do.
Daphne from Frasier as the ladybug.
Yes, I knew her voice immediately.
Did you? Nice.
I love her. I oh my she's gosh, so she's so good.
Yeah. Niles and Daphne. They
were so good. She's in The Resident now. She's great still. Oh, she's still great.
Aunt Sponge is the voice of the glowworm. We mentioned that. And then
who's
she's spider? Done so many. Come on, like so many things. She's Janet from Rocky Horror Picture Show. There you go. She's done so many things. What is her freaking name?
Susan Sarandon.
There we go.
Yeah,
thank you.
I was like, are you joking right now? I couldn't tell.
I was waiting for somebody to say it because it's like, I've got Janet from Rocky Horror. Yeah, Susan Sarandon.
Susan Stepmom. Sarandon. Yeah.
Oscar winning.
Yeah.
Oscar winning.
Absolutely amazing actress.
And yeah, her French accent is a little better than Richard Dreyfuss's Brooklyn accent, maybe.
I don't know about that.
No?
Oh, okay.
Debatable.
I challenge you to listen to the dialogue without seeing the spider and tell me where you think she's from.
Oh.
He got Russian vibes.
I thought she sounded very much more Russian than French.
Yeah, Eastern European.
But yeah. very much was designed to be French.
French.
Yeah.
But I didn't, I thought she was, I couldn't tell.
And it was interesting, because I don't think in the book, like, they had these identities, like, it wasn't like this, like, the grasshopper had a violin, like,
this
that was
is, like,
thing.
Hardcore 90s, though, was, like, actors and voice actors wanting to do accents. Right. That's, like, a big trope in this time period, so I'm sure
kids
they were,
love
like,
accents.
We do.
I loved the detail of the so spider, fun. Where she had two pupils, mm-hmm. two sets of eyes.
In her eyes, she had multiple eyes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it was very cool. The spider, yeah, is one of the best designed of them all,
yeah.
too, because it's got to be hard, too, animation-wise, because, navigating those eight legs, yeah, and having it make
very
sense.
Very spindly legs, and, too, very skinny. And
with little high-heeled boots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, she's wearing fantastic. Boots.
And her little, I like that she has that little thread. Little thread on
oh,
her
yeah.
butt.
Oh, yeah, that pops out.
The bobbin.
That pops out the bobbin, yeah. yeah. So cute.
And he's
rope. Like, I've got rope.
Yeah.
No problem.
Miles of it. Miles, huh? Dang. So we're introduced to these guys, and at first James is really scared, understandable, like these are giant bugs. It took me a while to realize it's not that he shrunk, it's he got, like, they blew up, right? Like,
yeah. They're child-sized bugs.
Bugs, yep. Yeah. Okay, good, yeah. Perspective gets off because it's a giant peach, so.
Yes. Yeah, I remember thinking he was shrunk too, and then figuring it
not
out later.
So much. They're like, he's like, please don't eat me. And they're like, we're not going to eat you. You would be disgusting. Who wants to eat a little? No. They're like, no, I'm a vegetarian. Like, that's, we ain't all about that. Like, don't worry.
But they're very scared of him. They want him out at first because they don't want the ants to come.
Yeah. Right? They're scared of the ants
because
she sprays them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Ants are not fans of bugs. So bugs are not fans of the ants. And let's see.
But the spider says, no, he needs to come with us.
He's my friend.
She recognizes him. See, I like this detail of it's like, oh, it's that spider. we've got a history. Like,
and he even says, like, you're my first friend. Mm-hmm. So adorable. Yeah. So sad.
So sad.
So sad.
You can definitely, I did know, so this is after Nightmare Before Christmas. I noted, like, movement wise, I saw some improvements, like they were improving some stuff. I prefer the design of Nightmare Before Christmas a little better, like, just, you know.
This was after Nightmare Before Christmas?
I think so.
Or do we need to look this up again?
Use the magic box.
I wasn't sure, because I would have thought if it was after Nightmare Before Christmas, they'd have put Tim Burton all over it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You're right.
Because everything else is all Tim Burton. But this was the only place you see him as like executive producer.
Right.
Nightmare Before Christmas was 1993.
Oh, good memory.
Way before
good
that.
Good memory.
So, yeah.
I'm old.
Shush. So the peach starts rolling down the hill.
Because
looks cool.
The centipede like decides, like, we got to get the hell out of here. So he uses his horn. They're supposed to be his teeth, but yeah, whatever. Gnaws at the...
His mandibles.
Uses that to gnaw through the stem / branch. Freeze them from the tree. And they're like, fasten your seatbelts. It starts rolling. I loved... There's some great bits in this movie, like little short jokes, like the rooster mistaking it for the sun rising was pretty funny to
I
me.
Loved the peach rolling down the hill.
I loved it really so good. Much.
And it like rolls right over a church. Like, this was an awesome way of providing like more areas for them to walk around, is a fence like wraps around the peach. Very smart.
Yeah, I thought
very
that was smart. Great. Like,
yeah.
Now we have a walkway.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Very good. And gets launched off of the edge of a cliff and into the ocean. It rolls over Aunt Sponge and Aunt Spiker, by the way, which they pop out of their car and is their feet against their chest or something? Like, did anybody else notice?
I didn't notice that.
Me neither.
But they definitely should have been dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, totally.
It
totally.
It crushed that car.
Not only do they survive, but apparently that car survives too.
Yeah.
And
long is a submarine.
To... Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Save that.
Good.
That big old question on that. So it's in the ocean. They wake up.
We're going to go to New York.
Yeah.
Let's
they wake
it.
Up. We're floating in the ocean. Like, James consults his little map dealio.
So cute.
And, apparently we're heading towards New York. Yeah, let's do it. And Centipede is like, oh, they love me in New York. That's the life for me. And that's one of the
oh,
songs.
Oh, my gosh. Something big city. What is it?
Bright lights.
Big city.
Big city.
Yeah. That's so I love that song. It's my favorite. At least that line. Mm-hmm. Like anytime, like when we went to Vegas, I started singing it because there was bright lights and we were in a big city. And Josh is like, "What are you singing?" And I don't know any of the other words.
And
I just know that one part.
Yep, that's funny.
That's where I gotta go.
Yeah, it seems like a Hollywood ditty. It's like this is what they sing. That's where we gotta go. Yeah, we gotta learn the rest of the song.
I don't know any more of it.
Because then
know.
Every character gets their own moment. Like Grasshopper, you know, establishes himself. Like,
right, it's just.
I love
the
spiders,
part.
But you little maggot, have you ever seen one? It's really intense.
Super intense.
And then we got the earthworm, who's our comic relief. Like, he's hilarious. And, like, if anybody's got a worse life than James, it's the earthworm. He's lost so many relatives.
I love that he has glasses. They're blackout glasses.
Yeah.
But they still make expressions.
Yes! Like, what are we doing? Oh, so good. Like, whoever had that idea, like, yeah, they deserve all the credit.
Nailed it.
It's like, and then the eyes are expressing, like, you crazy son of a bitch. Let's do it. Let's do that. Yeah, I like that song. They do a little reprise for it when they've decided that they're going to go to New York. But now, the question is, how do you get there? Because it can't just float there. That ain't gonna work. So James, super smart kid. I do like how Roald Dahl does, like, give kids clever moments, like the ability to be smarter than the idiot adults that inhabit his worlds. and James is looking up. He sees these birds flying around. It's like, you know, if we could... no, never mind. It's stupid. Like, compared to what?
Right.
So he decides that we could rope the seagulls and, like, attach it to the peach, and then we'll fly the heck out of here.
That's right.
But we're going to need string. We don't have string. Oh, wait.
We got a spider.
And in the book, like, the earthworm, or sorry, the they have a whole other character that actually got cut out. There's a silkworm. And between the silkworm and the spider, they, like, make the ropes. But you know what? We only need a spider.
The book
we
don't doesn't have silkworm. Susan Sarandon spiders, exactly. So it's not like a superwoman spider, mm-hmm. but the movie does, so they don't need precisely. That silkworm.
Mm-hmm. And they, I like the idea of using the spider web as a net. That was
really
cool.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, because we're getting attacked by the robo shark.
Yes,
right, here it comes. What? I hear teeth. I wrote that down. Somebody said that. I hear teeth. I
was like, the earthworm. He knows what teeth sound like because he has a like he's had nothing but horror in his life.
Sounds like a rhinoceros. Child has PTSD.
Seriously,
like,
everything's a rhinoceros. What was that? A rhinoceros? No, dude, I just dropped a thing.
Poor child.
Poor little Kai. No, it's a metal shark, which I think might be worse than a rhinoceros. I don't know.
And there's like, where did this thing... What?
Steampunk McGee drew it.
But why?
It was a fantastic steampunk
shark.
It was
so great steampunk shark.
It was so good.
The teeth spinning
and the way that they kill it too was
brilliant.
Like fantastic. So good. Or if they killed it, I don't know.
I don't really know either.
Right. And I like that it eats up all the fish and spits out the fish heads.
The fish heads.
Yes.
See, on a plate.
Yeah.
Which they do these little things to try to hint at. It's like, maybe it's a dream, but no, you full on like dedicate yourself to the idea that this really happened. So quit trying to do the dream thing. Because then like there's when they're underwater with the ships, there's like busts of the ants too. It's like, wait,
well, because also too, like, at like the end, when the ants get out of the car and they're wet, I was like, oh, were they like symbolically, are they supposed to be the shark that was chasing James?
So they are.
Like,
they're chasing
him
through the ocean.
I just was like, I don't know. That's just me. Just
that interesting thought. I liked it.
One speculation is that the ants made the shark.
Yeah, it's the suffering and depression chasing after James.
Yes.
God.
Yes.
But he's able to overcome.
He does.
Eventually.
Yeah.
They battle the shark.
These poor seagulls.
Yeah. Well, they got
bad for the seagulls, especially into the next part.
So they roped them. They're flying in the air now. They're above the clouds. But Centipede, he's getting hungry, man. So he's going to eat one of them seagulls.
Turns into a chicken, which a centipede could never eat.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's just a joke, though. Yeah, and instead they're like, "Nah, we got peach.
We have whole
peach. We have a whole boat that would actually go so much faster if we ate some of it, guys."
Yeah, the seagulls are like, "Yes, yes, you idiots, eat, you sons of bitches."
So,
and then we were treated to the next song, this fantastic peach or whatever the title of the song is. Which this, I love these moments. They did really good at like drawing from the book. Like earlier when Spiker and Sponge are reciting to each other, that's from the book. And then this whole song, like they just pulled, it's a poem in the book, obviously, but they just took that poem and turned it into a full-on song.
Oh, that's nice. I didn't know that.
And it's just a song about atrocious foods. Like that's it's like something with engine oil on it, and you know, yeah, they're just reciting like different weird dishes that they like to eat. Hot noodles made of poodles. I totally want some peach cider. Like, where can I get peach cider? Like, this looks delicious.
This is the Pacific Northwest. Go to any local grocery store or, you know,
Portland Cider Company in Pacmas.
I'm sure we've got some sort of grape
somewhere
peach cider around here.
Crispin has a good peach, but I think they only pull it out in the summer. I'm saying
Summer fruit.
When we go to the country fair every year, the country fair's emblem is a peach. That's its symbol. And so a lot of places at the country fair do things with peach to eat and drink.
Like peach.
Me too. And there's peach. This thing that this one booth does called a caramel naughty. And they wear lingerie while they make it for you, so it's extra special. No, they
need to get through COVID, people. We got to get over this.
Jacob it's wants to come get a caramel naughty. They caramelize the peaches and put homemade custard on them. And it's like the most sinfully good thing you'll ever eat, ever. It's so good. It's tasty. Great. Yeah.
Tasty. Like a tasty peach, which is what they eat during this song. And this is when the peach food porn is at its height. Like it's equal parts like delicious and disgusting at the same time. Where I'm just like, oh, I don't
like
know.
Like when they take and splat it on the ground, I was like, oh,
oh no.
I'm over it now.
Yeah. And so they enjoy that and They all have their peach food comas going on. Again, the earthworm, always good for a laugh, that earthworm.
Yeah.
I like that, yeah, he's segmentedly full.
Yes!
He's got multiple full stomach symbols.
So cute.
So cute. And let's see, they're wrapping up for the night. Yeah, they're settling down. Spider tucks James in for the night.
She cocoons him in.
This is when he I'd be a little scared. It's like, okay, you know what? That's okay, actually. Like,
you can stop now.
I kind of like my feet to be free. You know what I mean?
Or my arms, like something to fend you off.
It's like, at first I'd be like, okay, you're actually enjoying this too much. Like, wait, what's happening? But she tucks him in, and this is when he finally, like, you're the spider at my window. It's like, yeah.
You're my friend.
And tucks him in for the night. He has a terrible nightmare. The animation style is very weird here. It reminded me of Monty Python. the Monty Python animation style. Because now James is a caterpillar.
Yeah, it was an acid trip of a dream. Like, yeah. Oof.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, he gets a little extra something for this movie, and it helped you out. It would help you out.
Yeah. And, they sick the smoke rhinoceros on him again, and he wakes up, and it's like they're in the Arctic or some shit. Like, they're in a cold environment, and they weren't earlier.
This is when you feel worst for the seagulls. Like
the seagulls, they're flying frozen. And they're frozen. And you can see them struggling to flap their wings as they're frozen. And I felt so bad for the seagulls.
Yeah.
Poor babies.
Poor seagulls. They never catch a break. You know what? No gratitude for them either.
No.
Well, they're free, I guess. Like that's something.
Thank you would be nice.
Yeah. Far from
have
home, though,
peach,
too.
Have some peach, guys. Like, you must be starving from carrying us this far.
True that.
Nope.
Yep.
They get nothing.
Well, you know, from the bug's perspective, they're like, you know, you're usually our predators. Not today. Not today, folks.
That is an interesting thing, though. Yeah. They used the worm as bait, and the seagulls were really big next to the worm, but we're to believe that the worm and the other bugs are the size of a child.
Whoa, hold on. No, don't go there. No, you don't want to.
Sorry, hold on a second.
You don't want to go down this road. I mean, this is opening it up for the
magic.
For the weird song sequence where all of a sudden, like, James is holding the peach that he is on. Like, what's happening? He holds it in his hand. It's weird.
Also, they use the worm to catch the seagulls.
Yeah.
Why do the seagulls never try to eat the worm again? Because they hang out in the sun on top of the peach, and the seagulls just are like, okay, we don't see it anymore.
Yeah,
they
should we're not looking down. Like,
they should totally be communicating to themselves. Like, you know what, guys, if we all stop, they're screwed.
And they would have had to, because they would have gotten tired.
There
was only
sure.
like 30 seagulls.
Yeah, I know, right? I know.
That peach was really big.
Very
it's as big as a house.
Yeah, big as a house.
Anyway, sorry for
poking. But as Casey asked, they might be giant seagulls because if they're the size to eat a child-sized worm.
The only way that it works.
Yeah, that's weird.
The only way it works.
Because I kept writing down like the earthworm's lines because it keeps saying, it's like, no fair, mockingbugs munched me mother. It's like, Jesus. Like, just casually dropping these lines. It was like,
what was the one? I had a cousin that got bitten too, and now I have two half brothers.
Yeah. Yeah, they split them right down the middle. Now I have two half brothers. It's like,
oh my god,
so good. So
he's Wonderworm. I did like that. That was cute.
He has a great moment. Like, I did like that speech between him and the earthworm. James and the earthworm gives him a little pep talk. So Grasshopper's chewing out Centipede for lying to them, about being able to navigate and everything like that, because clearly they're lost. This is nowhere near New York City.
I did feel kind of bad for the caterpillar in this scene, though. For the centipede. We were just talking about the dream. Yeah. For the centipede in this scene, though, because he fell asleep. Like, he was tired. Everybody else got to sleep.
And
like,
he lied to them about
being the navigator. He did lie, and he does deserve to be yelled at for that. But
and to get kicked right in the face.
I mean, they were really mean to him. Like,
gets kicked right in the face. I mean, that Grasshopper lays him out.
He'd have been dead.
Put him up. Put him up. Come on. Give me a best shot. Whoopsh. Good shot.
Lays him out flat.
Like, oh, yeah. That, you're right, though. Concussion. Like, especially, like, I'm sure engineers out there do the calculations. Like, the force with which a grasshopper, like...
a human-sized grasshopper.
Yeah. Kicking. Like, bad news. Yeah, his head would have been lopped off. Yeah. So they're very upset with him, and you know, Centipede is ashamed. Like, he overhears them, like, just like, oh no, I guess we're doomed. Like, we're all gonna die. No New York City for us.
We're Centipede gonna freeze
feels
to death.
Really bad, and they like see all these like shipwrecked
ships. Yeah, not a good omen.
And they see them, and James is like, well, wait, like, one of those ships would have a compass in it. It's like, well, yeah, sure. Like, go after you, James. But Centipede dives right in, and this is where we get our awesome Nightmare Before Christmas cameo. Because, and he even says, a skeleton?
Yeah.
And Jack Skellington is hunched over a little, glowing little compass. Centipede, like, goes to get it and, like, gets kidnapped by these pirates. Skeleton pirates? Undead pirates? I don't know. Donald Duck is part of the crew.
Now that I know that this is after Nightmare Before Christmas, I'm more thinking of why all the pandering? And why it's still not just said it's Tim Burton. Why didn't they want his name on this?
Mm-hmm. See, I'm wondering, because it did also list that this was the last time one of the producers worked with Tim Burton. So I'm wondering if something went down
during
this.
Something had to have happened during the filming of this or something. Because it's super Tim Burton. I thought it might have been a couple years before. And that this was like Disney's like trial for Tim Burton.
Right, that would have made
but
sense.
But no, now that I know it's after, it's just, why didn't this get the Tim Burton label?
Good question.
And they don't even, to this day, like, they don't lead with the Tim Burton thing. Mm-mm. Like, the produced by Tim Burton.
Because it's Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas. It's, what's the other one he did?
Did he? Corpse Bride.
Corpse Bride. Yeah. It's Tim Burton's
Bride. Alice in Wonderland, the live action ones. Mm-hmm.
Dumbo.
So I don't know why.
Dumbo. Yeah.
Why
I don't
this
know.
Didn't get the Tim Burton label.
Weird.
Very fishy.
So then they put him on this stretch machine, like medieval.
Yeah. What's that called?
Torture device.
I forget what they
the
call
rack.
It. The rack. The rack. Yeah. They're stretching them out, and some hilarious stuff. It's like, hey, I got a long history of back problems, and I don't need it getting any longer.
And then one pops.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, that's nice.
That was pretty good. And then Paul Bunyan comes along with his axe, and he's going to cut the centipede in half. We get a little adult joke where he's like, hey, whoa, you're aiming a little low. He's gonna cut me in half. And James and the spider are there to the rescue because they go in after Centipede because he is one of them.
Yeah.
And apparently eating the magic tongue
makes you breathe underwater
and survive in frozen Arctic
water. Yep. Yes. You know, there's a few moments. There's definitely yes. standout moments in this where it's like, this is a kid's movie, folks. Because, you're right. Where it's like, how are they? They are full on, like, breathing. They're talking. They're.
Well, and afterwards, too, they don't even act like they're cold.
Yeah.
Like, you know? Like, they didn't need to be maybe wrapped up in things.
Yeah, I guess it is. It's got to be the magic worms.
I don't even think they dry off. Tongues. Like, they just, they're just air dry.
Instantaneously.
And there's this awesome, like, fight with the pirates and stuff. Like, really funny stuff. spiders kicking people, flying through the air. Compasses getting tossed between people. Donald Duck is there for some reason.
Yeah, the Donald Duck pirate.
Because are we to believe that, in real life, he looked like it. It's Donald Duck. It's Donald Duck. Like, it's got to be.
And it's,
I didn't notice it.
Oh, really? Oh,
no. I missed it.
It's almost like the Anaheim Ducks logo Donald Duck.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Look. Huh. Like, it's got a little bit broader bill kind of, but it's definitely Donald Duck. And so now we've got Jack Skellington and Donald Duck on the same screen together.
I did not know that existed,
but it does. You can go watch it on Disney Plus right now.
Do it.
It's weird.
It is weird.
They make it out with the compass. Like, at first we think Centipede, like, sacrificed himself, but he turns out to be okay.
He's fine.
Grasshopper and Centipede are on good terms now because, hey, you got the compass for us.
Grasshopper's violin music is so nice.
And then we realize that, hey, you know what? We're a family. And the grasshopper treats us to some violin music. You know, he doesn't do that. He doesn't go for that typical cricket stuff.
I love that he hates the way he sounds. Yes. Like, he's like, this. And does his legs. He's like, no, I want to play my violin.
Like, music should sound like this. Music should be an expression of the soul. It's like, what do you mean? Well, when I'm happy, I do that. This is where I learn, like, that, like, a little bit. Like, it's a good reminder. It's just like, oh, yeah, like, music can be, or any art it's can be totally, an expression.
Yeah,
like.
Totally.
And then we get treated to yet another. This feels the most Randy Newman-y to me, like, for some reason. But we are family.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that. This is the song that I think of when I think of this movie. It's got great lyrics and great moment with all the characters, because now they realize, like, hey, you know what? So we're a family.
Yeah, we've been through some weird shit together, guys.
Yeah, and going to New York City. And so we do that song. It gets really trippy and, like, weird for me, because it's like, because James reaches up and grabs a peach, which they're all dancing on. And so I'm like, is James God?
This is part two of his acid trip.
Because then it raises, it's like everything after this point, like, wait, whoa, hold on. Like, what happened to those other guys? After this song, we kind of get right to New York, right?
Yeah.
We're in New York City. Another good thing about this movie is it moves along nicely. It trucks along.
Yeah, we can see New York, but there's also something else coming.
Well, here's the thing. Like, they're looking down at New York, and they're all really excited. And it's like, hey, yeah, New York looks great up here. Get down to street level, then see how you feel about New York City. But this is, like, the 50s, so it is a little better.
Not for everyone.
Was it though?
Yeah. In the movies. For white people.
Go for it.
Yeah, well, we're not there yet. I want to get to when the peach lands.
Okay, so so then he sees the rhino. The rhinoceros. The
rhino shows up.
In the sky, and he screams, I'm not afraid of you!
It's really badass. No, this is, like, this is cathartic. Don't you laugh at him. Yeah, no.
Just laughing at my impression. Thank you very much. It was very good.
It was.
Because that feels like, who hasn't wanted to tell off
your fear, like, face your fear and scream in its face?
How you picture it. Like, if see, this is, like, this is how it should have ended for Will in Stranger Things. But no, the Duffer brothers like to watch Will suffer. Sorry, Stranger Things season 2.
When do we get season 4?
Soon, July. I got you.
So he battles the rhinoceros. Rhinoceros, as a last little fuck you, like, sends a bolt of lightning to the to the peach. And it's like, oh, okay, I'll leave. But yeah, there you go.
And now we're landing. We're crashing.
We're crashing. Crash landing.
Crash landing.
Seagulls are free. Fly, friends.
People die.
People die.
People die. It lands in the middle of New York City on like a... I don't know if it's on Fifth Avenue, if it's supposed to be there, like where people would be.
Yeah.
People died.
People are there.
People died.
People died. And we're now on top of the Empire State Building. And
excuse
oh, and
me, sir, where's the Empire State Building?
No, I love that bit too, because he's looking at the map. He's looking around the town. He's back to normal now, by the way. He's not.
Oh,
he's,
yeah, he coughed
he's
out.
He's not cool.
He coughed out his glowworm thing.
And it's still alive.
Magic.
Coughs it up, turns back to normal. He's looking around. It's like, what? Hold up. This isn't right. Where's the Empire State Building? What? Cut to wide shot.
I need the biggest crane you got.
I love that actor. He's the bad guy from Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
He's got a great New York personality. Mm-hmm. He was also in Baby's Day Out. He was the sleaze bag that's like, oh, I wonder where your baby is. Oh, I can't remember. I'm doing something to jog my memory. But he's playing a cop in this one, so he's a good guy. He's a good guy this time. And there's like, ew, there's like peach
goo coming,
yeah,
down,
dripping onto people. Very satisfying. Some woman in a fur coat, I think, gets drenched in it. It's pretty satisfying. They bring in a big old crane to lower the thing down. I love how the cop very condescendingly, like when James is lowered down, he's like, "It's okay, little guy." Like, it seemed like he wanted to be, "You're okay. You're a good little boy. Hey, you want the stick? You want the stick? Well, there you go. Go get it." But right then, Aunt Spiker and Aunt Sponge show up in there. Yeah, right. Submarine vehicle.
So it's the same completely crushed mm-hmm. car.
Yes.
Same one. Yeah.
And they get out and like it rushes out with water. They're covered in seaweed.
Yes.
Seaweed. Ugh.
They're
and like their makeup is perfectly
things.
Smeared.
Yeah, yeah. Ugh. Like, again, Spiker is the oh man, she just
oh whew. she did the makeup oh so good.
So good.
So nailed it.
They did great.
And they're like, okay, show's over. We're here to pick up our property.
We
and
have our we have the form here. Don't worry.
Uh-huh. It tucked in my bra here. Yeah, Sponge makes a big show of like, hitting the microphone.
They should not be claiming that that's their peach. Do you know how many city dollars had to go in to removing that
mm-hmm.
off of that?
Oh, God, yeah.
The people that were killed in the Empire State Building when it landed on there.
Good
you know,
point.
They should not be claiming that as their peach.
You're
because
right.
Because that cop just be like...
Oh, your
oh,
peach.
Good. Come with me because we're going to go have a chat. No.
I'm
going to
give
you a
we
nice
needed
big
a,
sign.
Yeah, we needed a scapegoat. I was going to do it. I was going to have it be this little kid, but hey, sure. We'll settle for the adults. No. So the cop, and I love it, doesn't take very much for the cop. It's like, picture. Yep, it's their peach. All right, folks.
That was funny.
Very good detective skills.
Really good. Yeah, the ants have clearly lost their fucking minds.
Because
they don't know how to be around other adults. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they forgot that's not how you're supposed to treat a child.
Yeah, flat out are abusing him
in front
public,
of people.
Yeah.
In front of a large crowd of
this
and a
crowd
police officer
sucks.
Is Adam, right there.
And a cop.
Yeah. And this crowd sucks, by the way, because they're like laughing at him with them at first.
Yeah,
because
they're like, oh, he's a habitual liar.
Yeah, they're very... whatever easily swayed this audience this crowd
and
James starts
like,
to stick up for himself and he's
no
just like,
I have bug friends and they came here with me and I don't know where they are but you know they exist
and he baits them he gets them to reveal how shitty they are it's just like I don't want to go back home where you like abuse me and stuff like okay
don't feed me dinner
ixnay on the abuse. they're trying to shut him up and again like who hasn't wanted to tell their parents off the way James does these ants like it's like I'm not going back and they grab a couple of axes They're gonna murder.
That's what I'm
this
saying.
Kid.
Like, they have lost their marbles. Like,
and people could have done a little more to get them get those axes away from them.
Why is just like, why aren't they being arrested right
now?
Right there. How good of a character is he? He's not a great guy. I mean,
hey. Hold on a second here.
Yeah,
this is getting a little excessive. What happened? Oh, the bugs show up.
They do.
Just in the nick of time.
Oh, hey. His story checks out. I guess he can go live with the bugs. It's fine. They can be his parents.
They string
now.
Up the ants and
plausible. Yeah.
The cop gives his contribution after they've been strung up by the spider's web and everything.
Yeah, that part was fun.
Get those ants out of here.
Yeah. Pulling them away.
I've done my job.
Then everyone proceeds to eat the peach.
Yes.
That has now been sitting on the New York streets.
Gross.
And in the ocean. And it's been open
underneath for a while. 30 or so giant seagulls.
Yeah. Ew. Oh, you're right. Where's the seagull poop?
Oh, man? It's there.
Yeah.
It's there.
It's probably a hypodermic needle in there at this point.
And by the way, you Disney DCOM fans, there's a little cameo. The weird little New Yorker kid who has one line who says, "Yeah, can I have some of your peach?" Yeah, that is that's Marshall from Under Wraps, the first DCOM.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Yep, there he is.
Under Wraps, so that's good. Him. Oh, it's one of our good DCOMs.
And then he stuffs his face along with all these other little kids and adults and everything. This huge crowd, they just devour this peach. And as the narrator likes to tell us, they ate that peach down to the pit.
Which they then proceed to live in the middle of Central Park.
Yes.
In the middle of Central Park, by the way. Like,
lovely little home.
Mm-hmm.
Where he sits and reminisces about
his adventure
every day.
The thing that we know about James is he desperately wants to fit in. He wants to have friends. And at the end, we get to see him like being this cool kid in front of all these other kids that all just saw what happened. So none of them need to hear the story.
This story is not going to last long. Like I give it 3 weeks. Tops.
When did they remove the giant peach pit from Central Park?
Because that too, after the celebrity wears off, it's like, okay, but seriously, get the fuck out of here. Let's go.
I would also like to point out that the insects don't live very long.
And
you're not wrong.
I would imagine that in a matter of days, James' whole family will be dead.
Yes.
So in another dark corner, I was also going to say what happens when they spit out their bugs.
Oh shit.
James spit out his bug and he turned back into a human. Do they spit out theirs and then all of a sudden his family is just...
I think so. What we're saying is, like, James's life is
it's going to be
headed
sad
towards
again.
Disaster.
Because we see some of them, right? And we see Ladybug having a whole bunch of giant ladybugs.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. So it's just going to be a continuation of.
So I think eventually the giant ladybugs are going to take over
the world.
And eat all the humans. We will be their aphids.
I love it.
Roald Dahl loves to end his books the way this movie does, and like his plays end this way too. They always love to acknowledge the fact that it's like, oh yeah. And I've been telling you this story. It is exactly what you just heard. I'm a narrator. Like
the
this
end.
Whole thing was told to you by me. Okay.
Yeah.
Telling you a story.
Yeah. And what a story it was. And then it ends with one last little Randy Newman number called Good News. And it's the only one he sings, and he shouldn't have.
I so agree. I was like... As I went through the movie and I was enjoying the songs and watching it and stuff, and then when the credits came on and it was actually Randy Newman, I was like, oh yeah, that's right, it's Randy Newman. This song is terrible. Yeah.
The greatest thing, that's when Randy Newman's at his best. Like, take his voice out, like, yeah, provide the music, he's a pretty good songwriter too. But damn it, Randy.
It's a good, happy day. There's an apple on the tree. I don't do a good Randy Newman, but it was just standard Randy Newman, too.
Family Guy nailed it.
That Family Guy.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
God. Because he's just literally talking about good news. Like, it was a little boy, and he said it was... It's like, okay, yeah. I just watched the movie, Randy. Like, I don't think
we
know.
We don't want this.
And that's the movie.
That's the movie. Let's rate it.
James and the Giant Peach by Henry Selick, produced by Tim Burton. All right, so we do rate our movies at the end out of 10. And out of 10
peaches. Come on. So obvious. I know, but it has to be.
All right. Out of 10 peaches.
Or crocodile tongues.
Hey. Okay. I like that better.
Magical rigatoni.
Magical rigatoni. Out of 10 magical rigatoni.
What do we give James and the Giant Peach? And we usually say it at the same time, but we'll go one by one. Starting with
our guests, of course.
Oh. Ooh, I would give it a 7.5.
I get that.
Crocodile tongues.
I would give it 7 magical rigatoni.
Yes. I'm going to go 8 magical rigatoni.
Nice and high. Yeah, 7 for me.
I think it's so fun.
It's a fun movie.
It was fun.
It helps that, like, that runtime actually helps, because it gets in there and gets out. It gives me some good, genuine, like, heartfelt moments.
And yeah.
Impressive animation. Yeah. Like, it was originally intended to be fully, I think, stop motion. I think it works so well. Like, doing the live action and the stop motion.
Absolutely.
See, Tim Burton was going to, like, Mars Attacks, which came out, I believe, after this. Like, that was a Tim Burton movie. Those aliens were, like, computer generated, and he wanted to do stop motion aliens, which would have been really cool. I want to see more of this, like, stop motion mixed with live action stuff. I think it could be.
I just love stop motion. I wish that it existed more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Agreed. I know it's, like, more expensive and.
Sure. Yeah, but fortunately we got Leica. Is that the name of the company? Which is a Portland company? Like, we live. Like,
yes, yes.
They're our neighbors.
I'll tell you some off-air Leica story.
Ooh, cool. Yeah, I can't wait.
So yeah, really good movie. Like, yeah. And I really dig the soundtrack. Like, it's a solid Randy Newman soundtrack too. Like, go figure. Go figure.
There's a couple of good songs, but it's so Randy Newman.
Yeah.
It's so Randy Newman.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it is mid-90s Randy Newman, which is like the height.
Right.
But.
Bright lights, big city.
Yeah.
The one.
And recommendations.
Yeah. You guys want to go first?
Sure. I would like to recommend, it's a movie. You can watch it on Hulu for free right now.
Woo-hoo.
It's called Save Yourselves. It's about this super adorable couple, and they are realizing they're totally obsessed with their phones and technology and everything, and they decide to just get away and go to a cabin and just, like, disconnect from everything.
Yeah.
And they do. They realize they have, like, no skills to do anything. And then weird little things start happening, and then they turn on their phones and realize the Earth has been taken over by aliens.
Oh my gosh. This sounds amazing.
Very funny. Nice. And I highly recommend it.
What's it called again?
Save Yourselves. Save Yourselves. On Hulu.
I'm going to have to watch that. Josh loves alien anything, so that sounds perfect.
And it's the, what is it? Is it Geico? Who's the commercials? Do you guys ever see the commercials guy at the,
oh,
goofy
Mayhem?
Guy holding the sign in the apartment with, like, his wife.
No, they're not Progressive. What are they?
I don't know that one.
And he's always like, do you think my arm looks bigger? And she's like, no. She's the main lead in this
movie.
That's
awesome.
She's
fantastic.
That's awesome.
Really good.
Very cool. Nick?
Oh, I don't know. Deadpool, any of the Deadpools, I'm going to recommend now, because we've been watching all the X-Men movies, and it just makes me want to watch Deadpool.
Same. They're so good.
Yeah, we're getting a third one. I just saw a random post, who knows how true it was, originally intended to be a Wolverine Deadpool road movie, but maybe
that
they aren't
been
doing
really
it.
Fun.
Yeah.
They keep fighting about it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it made me even watch the Green Lantern.
That atrocity. He's so great. I actually was just thinking about, I have a friend that was talking about Sitka, Alaska, and then it made me think of Proposal when she's like, Sitka, Alaska. So I want to watch Proposal now.
It's a good movie.
It is one of the best rom-coms.
What's your recommendation?
Mine is WandaVision. You can watch this on Disney Plus. It's so good.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh my gosh.
I want more. I don't want to wait a week.
I will say, like 10 minutes into the first episode, I was like, what is this? And by the third episode, I was like, I want it out now.
I agree. The first two episodes, I was like, what am I watching?
What are we doing? Is this supposed to be like Dream of Genie? What is happening? But then like the little glimpses that we see. Yeah.
We grew up with that stuff because of Nick at Night. Like most millennials actually know this world.
Yeah, totally. Our mom liked to watch that kind of stuff too when we were growing up. WandaVision. Check it out. It's fantastic. I'm not going to give anything away.
And all of you haters, just stop it. Like, just be patient.
It's exactly like what it should be. It's fun, but there's some shit that's going to go down and you can see little glimpses of it, okay?
It's like the binging thing. Like, binging has run its course. Like, let's get back to, week by week television.
I think that there's room for both, Jacob.
True. It does make me more excited and in anticipation to watch it, but... I do just want
some,
it.
Yes. Yeah. Some things need to be benched too.
No.
Yeah. That's just how it is. What do you recommend, Jacob?
I'm going to re-recommend something because...
Okay. That's fair.
We just talked about rom-coms. Gentleman's Guide to Rom-Coms. Yeah,
they're great. I've listened to some of their episodes.
Me too. They're really good hosts, Kelly McGillis, Ryan Graves, and it's a podcast called Gentleman's Guide to Rom-Coms. Most recent episode, they talk about Bringing Up Baby, which is a classic Hollywood movie.
Film. Yeah.
And I'm seeing Crazy Stupid Love on here. Her. Love Her.
Her. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, they've done a bunch of them. A lot of good ones.
Give them a listen.
And good perspective, too. I like it.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody.
Can I come back for Fantastic Mr. Fox?
Yes.
I want to do Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yes.
My favorite Roald Dahl book.
Well, it's and then we're going
to... Jacob has another one he wants you to come for. All
right. not this week, but eventually we're going to get to... And so thanks again for the Knicks for joining
us. Thank you, guys.
Anytime. Join us... Listeners, next week we have another matchup, and it's the matchup of the losers. That's right. Two losing
films
are going head to head. We got in one corner, we got Amy Adams, and Susan Sarandon actually. in Enchanted, which is the half animated, live action.
I love it too. It barely lost, but it lost to Ever After. Which is also so good.
Also makes sense.
Really good. Yeah.
Versus Godmothered, which is the new Disney joint.
About training. Yeah, it's like about godmothers and training, basically. It looks good.
Godmothers who usually get assigned like little kids isn't assigned an adult.
To an adult, yes. So. She's assigned to an adult, yeah.
Looks pretty funny. Looks interesting.
Neither of us has seen it, so it will be really interesting.
And I haven't heard too much about it, so picked. I actually like that. Going with a blank slate.
Yeah.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram.
At Disney Channel Surfers.
Or you can follow us individually. Me at Jacob Bean Watson.
And me at Casey Schwartz.
Do you guys want to drop your handles? Or?
No.
Okay.
No problem. Do it.
Never mind.
You can send us an email
at disneychannelservers@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and watch for our polls that we post every Monday. And you can vote on what we talk about next.
You only have 24 hours.
Yeah,
I'm not going to wait for you.
4 hours.
Forever. I got things to do.
People see.
No, I don't. Okay, so thank you so much for joining us again, guys. We will definitely be having you back.
So fun.
Love it.
Bye, surfers.
Later. Bye.